What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Yala
Ba-ba-ba-ba,
your thrice weekly podcast where we talk about the hottest news with some very interesting people, all with a touch of what? I forgot to brief you about this, but you can just say right after me, good old humor.
Okay.
So I'll try that again.
Okay.
We're not going to edit this up.
Okay.
Okay. Where we talk about the hottest news with a touch of what?
Good old humor. Hell.
Good old humor.
Good old humor. Yes.
Cool. So if you're listening, you would realize that that's not Terrence's voice. Because across me today, we have a very special guest while Terrence is away. None other than Sharul Chana.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, stand-up comedian, actress, writer, director.
Yeah, just produce myself. Everything. I just do everything
produce
by myself.
Yourself.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and it's actually quite cool because you and Rishi were, I think, our third guest on the first iteration of our podcast. Which had a way shittier name. It was called The Mushroom. You remember?
Oh, was it? No, I don't remember anything about your podcast.
Thanks. It was in this room. We'll put a link to the episode that Sharul and Rishi came on, which she conveniently forgot.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was like 3 years ago, 4 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, before COVID, whatever happened before COVID, you don't remember.
Yes. No, yes. I do. I do remember everything.
Yeah. I choose not to, like...
So there's pre-COVID Sharul and post-COVID
Sharul.
Yeah,
it's like before Christ.
Yeah, exactly.
Christ. Yeah, that's what.
So now it's BS and PS. AS.
AS.
Yeah, BS and AS.
Yeah.
Cool, but what's new with you, Sharul?
Oh, well, I'm doing it. You really want to know?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so I'm doing a show this week. It's called Middle Child by Sharul Chana, because of course it's me. I don't know why I wrote it that way, but it's happening at the Drama Centre Black Box, and it's a new comedy special. Just keep performing.
And like, what's new with this special?
Well, it's talking about me being a middle child and how I view the world as a middle child, and how the way I see things are different because I'm a second kid, and the way I was treated was very different because my parents were at that certain age where they were also growing up, so they didn't give much shit about me.
Oh, so they were younger parents?
No, so they were like, you know, they were hustling parents. All right, the first one was really special because the first kid and then second kid happened, and they're like, all right, we can just leave the kid with.
That's a middle child's, typical middle child syndrome.
100%.
100%.
I think that's why I'm like that.
Oh, that's why you're like, blame your parents.
Just blame your parents when shit goes down. But then if you're successful, just praise yourself.
Yeah, exactly. It's all because of you.
Yeah.
So how long is the show?
1 hour, 10 minutes.
1 hour. And you're doing for how many days?
I'm doing 7 shows.
7 shows?
Yeah.
And how different is it going to be from your previous shows? Because I've been to some of your previous shows.
Yeah.
How different is this going to be?
Well, it's actually, it's just new jokes put together and then string together. I'm just going to start off saying that I'm a middle child and this is my view. But it's just jokes.
It's just jokes.
You know, comedians are like, we always have to give a new name to something, but it's actually just our observations and the new things we've discovered, and we just pack it up in an hour, 15 minutes. There's no like I'm going to give some wisdom or whatever shit. No, nothing like that. It's just come and laugh and then just...
The wisdom is only for Instagram and TikTok.
Yes. You need to do that because then, you know, people buy into that shit.
Then they come for your shows.
Exactly. Like anything with the slow music at the back, like... And then you give the like... You know, some people even cry on Instagram for the same reason. You know the ones that cry and they're like, I was like that. And then I became like that.
Yeah.
And never give up, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Correct. I mean, it's a thing. It's a thing. Oh, cool. So if people... I mean, like... we can go into more like the links to the show and all. We keep it in the show notes.
Yeah.
But you are also here.
Yeah.
Because we need to stick to the regular programming, Sharul.
What is your regular programming?
Talk about news lah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, talk about news.
Okay.
Do you talk about news a lot?
Well, I do. I always look out for news because Singapore news actually is like I was in India recently and Indian news is so interesting. Something or the other keeps happening.
Like what?
Someone's car got stolen, you know, things like there was a flood. Or they install new CCTV camera. The CCTV camera got stolen.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, like things like that happen all the time, right? Yeah. Like a man who got who went back to kill someone who had betrayed him, found out that he was already dead, so he dug up his grave and took his head and left. You know, stuff like that.
Is it?
India news is amazing. People get beaten up in parliament. Like, just look at us. I mean, us, we just have Indian ministers getting into trouble.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah, all of them are Indian.
But only like one of them. I mean, the first story we have today does concern one of them specifically.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. You read the news that I sent you beforehand, right?
I yeah. Yalla, but ba 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 ba.
So we can just jump straight into it.
Go for it.
Yeah, cool. So the first topic we're talking about, I mean, it is a serious topic. It is a developing topic. And I know this one, you also have a lot of thoughts about this discussion, right?
Yeah.
And this was published on March 29th, which was 2 days ago.
Yeah.
And it's something to do with the MHA clarifying that the proposal to give police more power to apprehend mentally ill suspects has caused some kerfuffles. But how aware were you of this? Were you keeping track of like what was mentioned in the past few weeks about this?
I was keeping track enough to see if there were any jokes in it. And then, you know, I read it and I said, okay. Well, you know, I have my thoughts on it, lah. I have seen some people who are mentally ill. I don't know if there's a more vogue way to say it, or mentally unstable. And they have been with a samurai sword, or they have been sitting at the ledge, you know, wanting to jump down. Actually, I saw something a year back, someone just sitting, you know, on an overhead bridge and about to jump down. And then I saw two men from the gym who sort of casually walked past and pulled her back. And then the police had to come. So I think they really need to clarify what they mean by they're going to, you know, sort of take charge and arrest them. Because, you know, I think that mental health is something that you need to be very sensitive about. But at the same time, depending on how, like, I know there's a lady in Yishun screaming, the screaming Yishun lady. Was it scream in Yishun? There was one lady who was just screaming out the window and people don't know what to do about it.
I think there's probably been more than one instance.
Yishun, like, I think it's just Yishun.
Sure?
I think Yishun is just the area. I can Google it if you want.
Sure.
Screaming lady.
Screaming lady.
Yes, there's a screaming lady somewhere and people were making like a lot of noise about her because she was screaming and making noise.
I mean, just like while you Google it for people listening, the context of this, right? I mean, at first, I had to reread this a couple of times to kind of...
Tampines, I'm so sorry. I can't blame everything on Yishun, right?
It's Tampines.
It's your area.
Yeah, where I grew up.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think after you left, she got heartbroken.
Yeah.
She's like,
But did they find out like what the issue was?
Nothing. She just disrupts neighbors. Resident of block 405.
When was that?
Well, this news came out this year itself, I think. If your internet was good enough, I would have told you earlier. But then now that it's taking some time, but it's in Tampines. And she shrieks, She shrieks. Street 41, block 405, Tampines Street. Yeah, she's screaming away.
What was the outcome of that?
Nothing. That's the thing about Singapore news, right? They'll just tell you something's happening, then they will give like version 1, 2, 3, 4, the outcome. Nothing happened, I think. Yeah.
Because like part of like why this this topic about this new kind of like bill that is being passed is because, I mean, there's this whole debate about what people should do in the event of a certain somebody exhibiting like certain symptoms or signs lah. So basically, right now the bill that is being tabled is to essentially give the police more power to apprehend mentally ill suspects. And the whole backstory behind this, I mean, this is still set to be debated, I think, in a week's time in Parliament. But there was a case last in 2017, which was concluded in 2023, where there was a guy who was apprehended by two police officers, and on the pretext that he was mentally ill and potentially dangerous to this 4-year-old child.
Yeah.
So the mother of the child reported him, and these two police officers apprehended him, and he was taken into custody. He was handcuffed, and he was sent to IMH, but he was discharged a few days later. So after the whole investigations came out, it seemed like he was unfairly arrested.
Okay.
Yeah, because the doctors kind of said he has no mental health issues. So he, in the end, won the case. Because he took up a case against them and he was awarded, I think, 20K in damages.
So
that was announced last year in January. So basically, that whole case said that, okay, these police officers who were acting with the understanding that he might cause some harm were wrong, because he didn't actually cause any harm. And he was awarded 20K. So even a few weeks later, Shanmugam himself said, the MHA is going to relook into that outcome because it might set a dangerous precedent. Where police officers who in the moment need to make a decision whether or not someone is dangerous might not be able to for fear of kind of losing, having a case taken up against them.
Right.
So this one will make it a lot more clear that police officers, even though no harm has been done, if someone who is showing signs of mental illness, they can apprehend the person.
You know, I honestly think that with due respect to the police in Singapore, I really think that they need more training in empathy and also on how to deal with cases, case by case.
Why? Why you say that?
Because I think that, you know, you can't, I just think that these are young men who are police officers, right? They're NSF, they just graduated. I don't know, I really
Women also, right?
Women or men, like, you know, both. I just think that the way they deal with cases sometimes can be way better than they're dealing with it now. Having said that, I think that, like, this happened to me early last year, where this gentleman that is from the Indian community, he wrote about me on Facebook and he tagged my family, my dad, my sister, and wrote a lot of things which were, you know, not true, lah. And almost giving me a warning about something. And this guy also had pictures of swords and you know, some...
On his profile.
Uh-huh. So I went down to the police station and I said, listen, you need to do something about this, because if this guy goes off, then you have a problem, because he has a police record. And I know this...
Oh, he had a police record.
Yeah. Because he had cut someone's ear off or something at some... I had heard of that. And and he's dangerous, lah. He was dangerous. And so the police did, you know, interview him. And I really appreciated that. Because and I kept telling them, I said, you need to do it. You need him to back off, because people like this, they will go off. And mental health issues are huge now, and they're increasing in Singapore. So I think that, yes, they need... The police officers need to have training on how to deal with mental health patients. And also then making a decision on the spot, using empathy as to how to deal with it, right? Because people are going off. They are going off, and we are having a lot of, especially after COVID, people who didn't have access to therapy or counseling.
Yeah.
So that's why things are happening, and that's why I think the police should be given some power with.
So that means like you kind of like how you say, not to say you are against this bill.
No, I'm not against it. Oh, I think that I am not against it. I think that it's also how you do it. You can't just like, you know, if they have a knife in their hand and they are going to cause some damage to themselves or someone else around the area, you should taser them a bit and just, sorry, I didn't mean to say it with happiness in my face.
Yeah.
What I'm going to say is you need to taser, calm them down, or find a way to calm these people down, shock them into stopping, because it can be harmful.
But then that's assuming they get the training.
Yeah, so I think the police needs to be trained.
Yeah.
It can't just be like, they can't just be given power and then these people just make any decision to knock someone down.
Also, you're saying that this bill, there needs to be something part of it that every officer gets training.
Yes, they have to be trained. I think every officer needs to have training in how to deal with mental health patients and if someone has been sexually assaulted. Both are very important.
But then do you think that just because you receive training, you can actually execute?
I think it's a start. Once you receive training, it'll be in your head like, okay, this is something that's new that's come up.
What was the last training you received?
The last training I received?
I was thinking, what was the last training I received?
The last training I received.
No Skillshare or anything.
I cannot do
anything. Skills Future, not Skills Future.
I never cannot. Oh, no. I learned pole dancing.
Was it?
Yes.
So in the event, like, you know, like life or death situation.
If there's a tsunami in Singapore, I will climb the traffic light.
Oh,
yes. I will climb. And everybody who had a driving license, because I don't have one, they all will die.
Oh, I see.
But I'll be on that pole, saving myself.
But like, if you had to do a decision, this pole or the other pole?
Yes.
To climb up?
Yeah.
You feel your training, you'll be able to.
Nearest pole, lah. I mean, you see that, you have to use your brains.
Yeah.
So,
but then, like, do you think we should just let it be up to people's discretion?
I cannot. Yeah. I don't think you can leave the police by themselves to make this decision. They have to be trained in dealing with, or there must be someone who comes down to, you know, in each station, you need to have a specific person who's been trained in this, and that person gets sent down. Because you can't deal with mentally ill patients the same way you deal with, like, criminals.
Yeah.
You see, you can't push them down. I mean, you have to assess that, okay, there's a knife in his hand or her hand. Is she just someone who's wearing an outfit, a bunny outfit, and standing around? Or is it, you know, or is it a psycho person who jumped into a fountain in Orchard?
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
That could just be fun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But then I think that's exactly what this thing wants to protect.
Can you put the link to that video?
Yeah, yeah,
when you did that, Harish,
please. Yeah, 2014.
2014.
My coming out show. yeah. My breakout video.
I saw that and I was so excited.
Yeah, that was 10 years ago.
Yes.
Oh, shit.
10 years back, you jump into a fountain in Orchard.
Yeah, and look where we are now.
Exactly.
Yeah, sitting opposite people like you, people like Minister Shan.
I don't even know. Please don't put me in the same bracket as Mr. Shanmugam. I don't even know.
No, but
I'm not aggressive. I mean, bracket means, no, sir, you're a respected man. That's why I said that. It's not like I don't want to be in the same bracket as you.
Yeah. But I mean, even in this case, right, I think what they're trying to protect against is if you, let's say you need someone to send down who is adequately trained in all these cases, then it becomes a resource thing. Right.
Yeah.
So then this one is still going to be debated in parliament.
Yeah.
But
it's becoming difficult only because I've experienced it. I wouldn't have otherwise sort of said anything about it. I've seen that girl sitting off the ledge and it was on the ledge and she was about to jump. Mm. And if our gym instructor, the guy who was in our gym, would not have run across and just pulled her back, she was going to jump.
Mm.
So that's when the ambulance came, the police came to sort of calm her down.
Mm.
Because in this situation, it's about timing.
Yeah.
You know? If anything tip over, then shit can go wrong.
But then do you think it should be, which one is better? Because in the case in 2017, they arrested him first and then found that he was wrongfully arrested.
Mm.
And then, so it's almost like guilty unless proven innocent.
Mm.
Or are you a bigger fan of like innocent unless proven guilty? In the sense, like, if someone is verbally saying,
did he have a knife with him? Was he screaming?
No,
was he shouting? Then they can't. You see, that's what I'm saying. There was lack of training.
But that's exactly it. Now, if this bill is passed, technically, the police could apprehend someone if they think that this person's a danger either to himself or someone else.
Correct. So, again, those they need to have conditions there. It cannot just be like, I mean, some Indian men just look dangerous. Not everybody can. Like, if you were standing downstairs the block, Harish, you look dangerous.
Yeah, so if someone came to apprehend me, that wouldn't be fair.
It wouldn't.
Yeah.
Of course not. That's why it cannot just be like, you look dangerous. It has to be, was Harish holding a knife?
Mm. No, okay, so you're talking about like...
Conditions. Like conditions must have conditions.
So, you know, even recently, this was something we were talking about just before the podcast.
Yeah.
About the case where the drag queen was assaulted outside MBS.
Yes.
Right? And I think what happened was there were this group of people who pushed her down.
Yes, called some slurs out like papok. Yep.
Yeah, and then the friend who helped her got beaten up also.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
But those offences were classified as non-arrestable offences.
Correct. Which is again, as a tax-paying citizen, I would say that's a terrible decision on the police part because. You know, you need to protect, the marginalized community like drag queens in the country. You need to protect them. And B, the moment someone touches you and hits you, they're already dangerous.
But you see, in that case, why it's tricky? Because I also heard it's a non-arrestable offense. I'm like, how the fuck is that not an arrestable offense?
Yeah.
But because there were conditions.
Mm.
And based on the conditions in like the statute and constitution and the penal code, it is a non-arrestable offense. I don't understand why.
Yeah.
But those were the conditions that were
set up. You know, maybe we've been following laws and rules that are now they've already, they don't work in today's time at all. I think that they need to revise it, which is why I think that, I mean, if they actually say that they protect anybody, and I remember I watched Mr. Shanmugam once at an Aware's.
Not Mr. Shanmugam.
Yeah, I have to say Mr. Shanmugam, I really heard him speak at, I think there was Aware's, there was an event, and he said that, you know, that Singapore will protect any person who is male, female, drag queen, in terms of, I think he was talking about sexual harassment or assault. This is assault. So if someone who is a drag queen, if it only stopped at being called a bapo, you can't do anything about that. But the moment you come back and you hit a person, you need to arrest. And I think that they need to know better. They need to protect the marginalized communities in Singapore.
Mm.
So wrong. It's wrong.
But if it was hit, if someone from a non-marginalized community was hit,
also wrong. You have to anybody who gets touched, unless it's a family issue. It's a family matter.
Mm.
Like if I slap Rishi, which I won't, but it's a family matter. It's different because then it gets tricky. Because we don't know what happened. Was someone provoked there? You are husband and wife. It's a very different case already.
Mm.
But in this case, it's a member of a public, you know, hitting another man in public. They don't know each other. Cannot, huh? Cannot.
Yeah. But I think that was one of the reasons why, I mean, there's a Today article also trying to explain why voluntarily causing hurt is not an arrestable offense, is because the cases of hurt are too varied. So like, let's say you slapped Rishi in public.
Yeah.
Right? And then
Rishi calls the police.
Rishi calls the police.
Yes.
So in that case,
he'll call his mom first, by the way.
Either way, the mom will come with the police.
Yes.
Right?
Okay. Can until
then they
the
won't
police.
Arrest you because it's a non-arrestable offense.
Which is wrong. You can't do that. You have to. If I do something like if I
but
hit
just
someone,
you said family is tricky.
Husband wife is tricky, but I think it's tricky.
Father son is okay.
No la. I think okay. Let me get it. I think husband wife is tricky. Family matters are very different. Mm. But if it's two strangers, you can't. You have to arrest someone who touches another person. Mm. I think there's no excuse with that. Because if you keep this, if you say this is non-arrestable, a lot of things are going to happen, you know?
Mm.
Like people will be like, oh, okay lah. You know, like people are going to go out and attack more people of the LGBTQ community. And that's not a good, good example to set.
So, I mean, like, because it was a non-arrestable offense, they can still take it up with the magistrate. But yeah, it did feel weird that it was classified as that. Because, I mean, other forms of causing hurt, including voluntarily causing hurt, that are arrestable. So, fractures, dislocations, permanent disfigurement to the head or face, or even death. When the hurt was caused after the offender intended to cause the hurt, basically they had an intention to cause the hurt, causing hurt with dangerous weapons or means like knives, axes. So, yeah, it feels... It's only in those instances that it's arrestable.
Which I don't think is fair.
Yeah, I never knew that.
It's not fair.
So you think there's going to be like a rampage of people just non-arrestably offending people?
I think so. I think there are going to be people who are homophobic who are going to read this and say, okay lah, next time I go to Neil Road, find some of my, some of these people and then... And it happens a lot.
Mm.
It's just that it doesn't get reported.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's because you're scared.
Mm.
And so this is the time that if you have already repealed 377A, is that what it is?
Yeah, 377A. Yeah.
That you need to protect these people. And I think you should, if this is the example you should set.
Mm.
And also like, elections are coming.
Yeah. But then, you know, you're saying marginalized communities and people who maybe don't have as strong a voice, right?
Yeah.
So in some way, people who suffer from mental illness.
Yes.
Like there isn't enough support structures right now, right?
Yes.
But if the bill that we were talking about gets passed, then isn't it more harmful to them? Because technically, they are going to be treated like criminals who commit more serious or more conventional crimes are treated.
Mm.
And it's also more power to the police to apprehend them even when they are not actually causing harm.
So I think there need to be conditions to it because, you see, one of their faculties is not operating at a normal pace, which does not make them normal. And you know, we can't say that they're normally functioning, you know, they are not
they're
thinking.
Like someone who's sick,
they're sick, exactly. They're not thinking.
You know, you got a fever, your flu, and all that. You're not.
I mean, it's
not
more than a fever and flu.
I mean, but like a very serious sickness.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah, so you know,
physical ailment, mental ailment. They're both kinds of like your body's not operating 100%.
But with mental ailment, the bigger problem is that your sense of reasoning goes out of the window, right? And that is the problem because if you are not reasoning well or at a sound level, you can make decisions to harm people around you and yourself.
Mm.
So if that person is just screaming, like for example, when I went to Australia, I see some I see how some of the Aboriginals get treated, right? They're outside cold storage. They're just screaming.
Mm.
Okay? Everybody ignores them. Till then, they're fine. But, you know, when you see some of them breaking property, you know, like a chair or a car, they get arrested.
Mm.
Because at that time, they're either drugged or they're not in control. And when someone is not in control, and they cannot think for themselves. Same thing with drunk people. When people are drunk, they do the, you know, so many crimes happen when people are drunk and around clubs, right?
Yeah.
because they're not thinking, they're not sound in their brain. So you need to hold them down before they cause harm to themselves or someone else.
Yeah.
But if someone is just sitting down and making guttural sounds under the block, then you can't say anything.
But that's why it's discretionary.
Yeah, it is.
Let's say some police officers, I think, because even in the case where the guy was awarded a 20K, I think when they interviewed one of the police officers, he did say the guy was mumbling to himself, talking to himself. I'm like, if I walk down the street, half the time I'm mumbling to myself.
Correct. All of us are.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, after COVID.
Yeah.
People, I see so many people mumbling to themselves.
Yeah, but it might just be, maybe they're on a phone. Maybe their Bluetooth headbutt is like the kind that really goes in the ear, you cannot see it, right?
Correct.
So if the police officers actually can make the call to preemptively arrest people, then that's kind of dangerous.
Yeah, so in this case, I think it was not right.
Mm.
It was not right. But in other cases, I think that they should have conditions, and I think they should be allowed if someone is causing hurt to themselves or someone else. Mm. Because I think that there are medicines available for people to sort of keep their mind in balance, and sometimes people don't have access to that.
Mm-hmm.
Or because we're an Asian society, there's so much of stigma where people do not take medicines to sort of, you know, get better.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's important to have conditions, but if someone is causing hurt.
But there's the thing, this one is about even if they're not causing hurt.
Yeah, la. So that cannot la.
So you think this bill will be passed?
I think it will be passed, but I think they'll have conditions.
Mm.
Yeah.
But if the bill is passed, that means the police officers can arrest even if the person's not causing hurt.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so they need to have conditions.
Yeah. More conditions, Cheryl.
I need to have conditions, lah.
Life is just full of conditions.
You cannot, it's not a straight line. You can't be like, you know, I mean, come on. I think Singapore, we had so many bans and everything. We're so boring.
You think Singapore's boring?
I think I'm happening. I think that our environment is boring. I think Singaporeans are damn fun.
Mm.
I think Singaporeans are damn like, yeah, chill out. They want to have fun. Mm. But then when Singaporeans want to have fun, where do they go? Malaysia. Mm. Or Thailand. Why can't we have fun in our own country?
So like, what's, you say like Singaporeans are fun, but the Singapore,
like everything is it. Okay, so now of course vape is banned.
Mm.
Right. Then there's so many bans. There's so many things you can't
shisha
do.
Also.
Shisha is banned.
Yeah.
And then now you have like extra cameras being put so they can catch criminals or like speeding. I'm like, we're under so much surveillance, and then you say we have low crime.
But low crime?
Yeah.
Doesn't mean?
No crime.
Exactly.
Correct. But then do I really need to be like, so we don't, next time we want to do a video, right? We don't invest in it. We just tell the police to give us the footage. We just stand and record our own podcast.
Yeah,
right?
You can do
it. You can do it yourself, right? You say, can I please get like the camera from this area? Yeah,
you just have to record audio because you can have multicam.
Multicam setup.
Yeah, multicam setup.
I just feel like, and then even my car has a camera to see the car in front.
Yeah.
I don't know what we are.
But then, okay, so, you know, like, as a guy and as a girl living in cities, there are differences, right? You know, when it comes to safety, and all, right?
Yeah.
Because one good thing about Singapore is that it's generally safe, right?
Mm.
Like, people who grew up abroad, when they come to Singapore, by and large, a lot of them do like the country, right? Yes. So, from your perspective, you know, you have traveled quite a bit. Do you see, like, I mean, you have to admit that with all the cameras and all, right?
Yeah.
Things are safer, right?
Yeah, but you see, the problem is that we have what we call like a lot of people are repressed sexually.
Oh, wow. Okay.
A lot of people.
Because of the CCTVs.
Because of our upbringing. We've never been encouraged to express ourselves sexually. Really. The only way that we, it must lead to something and have children. Okay. And I'll tell you, like, I really see this with a lot of people. They are so repressed.
Yeah.
And I think that they, especially the men, so I'm going to make a loss. I think that they're just so, yeah, they're very, and it's coming out. You see all the cases that are coming out now in the news.
Like what?
Like, you know, sexual assault, molest, upskirt. I think an upskirt video guy, there's so many people who do upskirt video, and you know, it irritates the shit out of me when in the papers it's like, bet he was from NUS, bet he has a bright future. Okay lah, then why don't you introduce an upskirt video course in NUS?
Yeah.
Put all of them there. Maybe they're just filmmakers. Right, they just want to make films.
So it's behaviors like that make you think like Singapore men are sexually repressed,
I think they are 100%.
But like down the street, if you walk down, can you like point at a man and say that guy is like,
okay, 70%. Like on last week Friday, I sat in a Grab. Okay, and I sat in a Grab, and the Grab driver, and I normally don't take Grab. I prefer to take Comfort Cab because it's old taxi uncles who are very sweet, mostly grumpy, but you can still deal with them. I sat in a Grab, and it was a 40-year-old Chinese guy. Okay, and he said, he's like, "Damn, you're hot." And then he went ahead. He's like, "I said sorry." He's like, "Yeah, you're very hot. I see your birthday. Why are you dressed like this?" And then he's like, and then he said, "Can I show you something?" And I'm like, "What is he about to show me?" And then he unties his hair and he's like, "Look at my hair. I've got long hair, but I get attention because of my hair, not because I'm hot." And then he carries on, and I have to call my friend and I'm like, "Hey, this guy, and what's going on?" And I tell my husband, and how many people should I report? How many men can I report? I always report and call out people. So I feel like I was so shocked because I'm thinking, like, what made you think it was okay and appropriate to talk like this? So I feel like there is like a lot.
And you don't get that in other countries.
In other countries, I think that, yes, you can get that. But I think in Singapore, it's scarier when it happens. Because in, say, for example, when I'm traveling in India, right? I normally have someone with me. And you know, it's now with safety, there is like this thing, they can track you and they're very careful. They don't want to get reported. I think Indian men in India, for the most part, especially who are drivers and all, they're scared of like, you know, getting into trouble. Because this is their livelihood. You know, they have to feed their families. In Singapore, I've never seen this happen with the reports coming up. Like so much. Like it's been happening. But now it's just too much.
Oh, and you think it's affecting like society in general?
It is. Why is our birth rate low?
But so only the men are sexually repressed, is it?
I think because men are, women are too, lah. But then women are not going around touching bums. You know what I'm saying? They're not taking. When was the last time you saw a woman take an upskirt video? Because at most they will get upset and slap a few kids in the kindergarten, which they shouldn't. But like. There's no woman like standing around naked going like, you know, but men, you'll just see men like all these cases.
Oh.
I mean, don't you think like women are still kind of like going about their job?
Like, I mean, I wouldn't say I can tell when someone's sexually repressed or not.
I mean, when these things come out, of course they are. I mean, upskirt video. When was the last time a woman took an upskirt?
But
you can't even upskirt because they don't wear skirts. But
I mean, yeah, for a heterosexual woman, like you won't take a, for a man, they don't often wear skirts, right?
Yeah,
and like
don't.
Pants are not conducive to up pants kind of videos, lah.
Yeah. But I mean, but women are not even like, you know.
Yeah.
They just want like.
So how do you think we can fix it, Charo?
I tell you how we can fix it.
Yes.
We need to have a rule,
like
a national rule, which I'd like to suggest to Mr. Shanmugam.
Yeah.
We need to inaugurate World Masturbation Day.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And I think that all men and women should masturbate once a day.
But
in Singapore.
Would you say World Masturbation Day or World Masturbation Hour?
World Masturbation Day should be one day where they inaugurate it. And then every day they should tell everybody to be sexually healthy by masturbating once a day. Let out. Let it out.
And like at work, you can be, okay, sorry boss.
There should be a special place that, okay, I got to go. It's my masturbation hour. But mostly do it at home, lah. Don't do it in the office. And don't do it on your colleague, lah. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, just be like, encourage people to be sexually healthy by masturbating every day. Yeah. And log into your SingPass and then... just log into your SingPass and then just say, okay.
So you have a government-controlled app to show you like racy images or videos, but it's all tracked, lah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then, you know, maybe the racy image could be like you get... like it's just $5 rebate on in NTUC and then people get turned on. You don't know, Singaporeans get
more
turned
CDC
on.
Voucher. Yeah. Oh, you mean the racy image?
The racy image could just be that. Or the racy image could be like, you know, the racy image could be...
like a, how you say, like the rebate, something rebate.
Like a rebate.
Utility rebate,
$5 off some voucher.
Have you seen this be piloted anywhere else in the world?
Absolutely not. I am... suggesting.
Have you tried
this?
It with like a small focus group of your friends or something?
I myself need focus. I'm just putting it out there because I'm telling them they need to go to schools and teach kids how to release themselves and be sexually healthy. So by the time they come to NTU NUS, you know.
So what age do you think they should start?
I think they should start once they hit puberty, like after primary six, like sec 1 to sec 4, they should completely. Sec 1 to sec 4, they should have like
just introduction. Teenagers.
Yes, 100%. I don't know why we don't have that in our country.
Mm.
Like we just, I mean the even our the lady who is who's the one talking about children and development.
You mean like globally famous person or?
No, Singapore, our minister who is minister of women and children or.
I don't know whether there's a ministry for women and children.
Someone who's talking about the fertility, right?
Jyotio, is it? No. Grace Wu.
Yeah, but doesn't have kids herself, I think.
Indrani.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Madam Indrani Raja doesn't have kids.
Yeah.
So she's advocating this.
Uh-huh.
Put someone there who has 4 kids.
Oh.
Who can talk about it.
I see.
You think I can arrest her after this podcast for voluntarily causing hurt to people's emotions?
No. I think it sounds like you have Singapore's best interest at heart.
I have Singapore's breast interest at heart. That's what you should call it.
See, that's something that only you can say. I cannot say that.
Yes, I can. Yeah. No, but I really think Singaporeans need that. They need to be relaxed and released.
So before parliament, like everybody does a...
If the parliament wants to.
Because it's a very high stress scenario, right?
It is. I think everybody should.
Before surgeries,
doctors,
flights take off.
Once a day, everybody should masturbate.
That's your...
Regardless of race, language. Religion, language, gender. And...
So that is your like one, if your suggestion to improve Singapore, that would be it.
That would be one of the suggestions. They should do that.
I mean, it's because the second story is also involves someone who I think is quite stressed. It is the case of like a man who allegedly confronts a mosque to complain about the prayer noise.
Okay.
Very stressed.
He's stressed.
Yeah.
He should have masturbated before he went there. Because if he masturbated, he wouldn't have gone to the mosque.
No, he didn't
or
go
maybe
to the
he was
mosque.
Masturbating
he
whilst
didn't go
it was.
To the mosque. He didn't go. He went down. Like I don't think he entered the mosque. He just came out and said, "You all need
I thought
to be
he was. He barged in, right?
He barged in, but I don't think he was. Oh yeah, correct. So you're saying before he went down to complain,
Yeah, if he masturbated at home, unless he was masturbating, then he started hearing the prayer, and then he thought like, "Shit, this is interfering in my." But I don't think so.
Mm.
In all seriousness,
that's just speculation,
That's speculation, 100%. I think you see if this guy were masturbating. He would have fallen asleep immediately.
I see. But then do you think that it is also because everyone's so cramped up together that they are stressed?
I think this is really, you know, on the man's part, it's intolerance, you know.
Intolerance?
Yeah, I mean, he should have been more tolerant of the call to prayer, Call to prayer is call to prayer, You know? The world is going through a lot of stress already. Then you go and go to the mosque and then you say like, the call to prayer is noisy.
Yeah.
Your father is noisy, okay? You know when they are doing like the come on, how many times when it's Chinese New Year, then there's the what is that, dragon? No, the lion dance.
Oh, lion dance.
Right. Yeah. The lion dance, the ching ching chong, ching ching. Then how?
But
it's noisy, you know, even for us. But what do we say? No, we are tolerant. It's your festival. Enjoy.
Yeah.
And who's inside that lion? Indian people.
Is it?
No, there are some Indians also. Once I saw an Indian guy wearing the lions.
Is it?
He said he's Simba then. Simba.
No, I mean, like this one. So the thing is...
Okay, I didn't mean to say ching ching chong. That was not racist. It's just the sound that it makes, okay? I just have to clarify before people...
Dong dong cheng?
Dong dong cheng is what it was, yes.
Dong dong cheng.
Dong dong cheng.
Yeah. Dong dong cheng. So, I mean, in this case, like I don't know whether like the one masturbation a day would solve all problems, but I think...
But it would solve... 90% of problems. Had this guy been masturbating, he would not have gone down to the mosque to complain. I can assure you that. Because you see, there's no... He's Chinese, right? I think he's Chinese. He looked Chinese from the back. No Indian person is going to go and complain because they're already drinking and sleeping. Indians won't complain about these things.
You sure not?
Come on, we are the ones who make the most noise during Thai Pusam. That's why we have a whole street to ourselves.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah,
we love Bhangra, Dhol, everything.
Now also there's a sound limit, the noise limit.
I don't know why that is also. Let them enjoy. That's why you keep controlling everything. People are stressed. Everything also control. You want Singapore to become like a quiet city, is it? Like everybody shut up. Use sign language, is it?
No, but that's why Singapore, maybe the goal is at certain times, the whole country is noisy, like Taylor Swift.
Oh yeah, Taylor Swift, nobody said anything because money was coming in.
Yeah, correct. But also because got no houses like directly next to National Stadium.
Oh, no, had. You know how many of my friends who stayed in the east, they just put like, I think it was Costaroo. They had like, they put chairs or whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then they were just watching it from their balcony. They're watching Taylor Swift.
But they can hear just the faint.
Yeah, but for them, it's enough. Singaporeans will take anything they can get.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, it's a nice view also, la, where they stay.
Absolutely.
Tanjung Rhu, which there's a bunch of BTOs coming up there also.
So, if it's noisy, then how? Who's going to? Will you really walk up to the Taylor Swift concert and say, please tell Taylor Swift to keep quiet? Here, just because Allah is like, on the loudspeaker, you think you can walk up to the mosque and you just.
But I mean, the one thing is we don't know how loud it was.
See, honestly, even in India, this happens. Mm. Like, you know, there's a mosque in every area, and at in the early morning or in the night, they will do the call to prayer. And at Arab Street, when we are there, we're doing stand up. There's so many times when we're doing stand up and the call to prayer happens, and we all just keep quiet, respectfully.
Mm.
And after that, we carry on with our dirty jokes, okay?
Mm.
But for that time, we respect the call to prayer, and we, you know, we know that we, if we want to respect that there are four races in this country, then we have to be tolerant of everybody. You know?
Yeah. La.
There's so many things that we could be complaining about, like the burning of the smoke during Hungry Ghost Festival.
Mm.
Like, chokes my throat. But I'm like, maybe your ancestor is happy.
Also, you don't think that can be curtailed a bit?
The
burning of the...
I think, okay lah. You see, because I'm tolerant, I hope that they're also tolerant.
Mm.
Right?
Mm.
So because I'm being tolerant and saying, I know this is your practice, your cultural practice, please do it, I understand. So you show the same like, reciprocate.
Do you think it's imbalance or balance?
I think, of course, it's imbalanced.
Mm. Like, what do you wear? Like any thing that you think is the imbalance, like,
yeah, I think for Thai Pusan they should allow people to have more drums, you know pray loudly. I mean, if Singapore is so heavily into feng shui, they should know that when they're praying loudly, they're bringing a lot of good energy and money for Singapore, you know. Just want to let them know.
The money might not be directly through Thai Pusan, like, it could be in the form
through
of
the
Taylor
God
Swift.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe Taylor Swift tomorrow just says that, you know, I grew up in Little India. Then things are going to change.
Mm.
She said, I experienced Thai Pusam. That's it.
So Thai Pusam all the way. La.
Yeah, it will be Thai Pusam with a national
Edwin Tong
event.
Will be wearing the kavadi, you know.
If he does, I will pay to watch that. you know how much money I will pay?
But I mean, so in this case, yeah, like, just looking at it at face value, this incident, yeah, it's ugly la, to go down and complain. Because we don't know what time it is. We don't know how loud it was, but I can't imagine it being that loud.
If you sit this guy down, I can tell you he was repressed.
Oh, really?
100%.
Maybe repressed through other means.
No.
Maybe not just sexually.
It's mostly sexually.
Mostly sexually. Have you That's done any same. Studies about this or not?
I have done an intuitive study. I feel this, la. I feel this.
You feel this. But is this something you talk to your friends about?
Always. All the time.
Like how?
You know, like, sometimes you're going through a very tough day, and then I tell my friends, like, you know, my friend comes back home, she's like, I'm so tired from work, my husband's doing this, my kids are doing this, I don't know what to do, I think I'm about to have a breakdown. I'm like, hang on, masturbate.
And then?
And then we'll talk after 5 minutes.
Yeah.
She comes back, she's like, you know, I feel much better.
Really, yeah?
I feel much calmer.
And you have enough, like, case studies.
I have enough friends.
Who have?
Whom I have suggested this to. Like, I swear if... Murderers? No, I can't go so far. But
like thefts. Yeah, the shop thefts.
No, the shop thefts is, I think it's more money. Like the main aim is money, lah. Maybe they don't have. I think other things, lah. You know, anger.
Oh.
You know, like clubs, people get angry. Like there are only three reasons why fights break out, right?
Mm.
One is like, why you look at my woman? It's so common.
Mm.
Why are you looking at me? Right.
And
third is
why are you not looking at me?
No, why never take the drink I gave you or something? Or like you are from a different gang.
Mm.
You know, it's all about aggression and testosterone.
So they want to someone to come in, stop.
And someone says,
first.
Yes. And like if they got enough attention, you know, so many people fight over women in clubs.
But you mean women don't fight over men?
No, we don't. When was the last time you saw a cat fight? Women don't like, are not on top of each other because of one guy. Never.
Really?
If they really are, it's like 1 out of 100. And that too also like...
Maybe they are repressed? That they don't even feel they can fight in public?
Women in Singapore just want to be treated with respect. La.
Mm.
They just don't, we just don't. That's why we're not having children for a reason, you know, in this country. Because you have a child, you go back to the workforce. First of all, are we going to get the same job or not? You know, are we going to be hired again? Will we be allowed to go back to the workforce? Are there equal opportunities for us? You know, it's so expensive in this country to sort of, you know, both have to work. So the woman is now stressed that she doesn't know whether she's going to get a job. Then if she goes back to the job, how is she going to be treated? You know, she wants to take care of her kids. She has to get a maid. You know, there's so many things to think about.
So when you see the stat of a recent study that said that about 60% of men feel that this whole push for gender equality is discriminating men. No?
Yeah.
What do you feel?
I feel that they're stupid. I feel that they are stupidest bunch.
That's 60% of Singapore men. No?
But that was still from a small crowd, no? Yeah. All stupid.
But that's like maybe, I think it was 1,000 to 3,000 people. 60%.
There can be 3,000 stupid people in Singapore. They're all there.
And they all happen to just take the survey.
Yes. Because obviously what? They're so self-absorbed. They don't think about anybody else but themselves.
But don't you think...
We thrive. Our patriarchy in Singapore is thriving. You know that, right? It's a patriarchal society.
You don't think it's getting like more progressive?
Maybe in the banking industry. Mm. I have seen my friends in the banking industry. They come back to me and they say, Charles, we have... you know, equal opportunities.
Mm.
We're getting hired. We're getting promoted. I've heard such good experiences from people in DBS. Great stuff. But like, otherwise, no. There's so many industries that are suffering, you know. And forget that. You know, even in the office environment, sometimes the way they get spoken to, you know, it's quite demeaning, lah. It's not a very great experience.
But do you think like that is reflective of all men in Singapore?
No, it's not. Of course not. There are good men in Singapore. There are men who sort of respect women and they know that there must be equal opportunities. But there aren't enough, is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that there needs to be a shift in mindset so that guys go, okay, my wife wants to have a career. This is my career. We got to sit down and see how we can have a baby. But then you see, even organizations need to change, right? You know, there aren't even enough female bosses. How many women are there in parliament now? We need to set example, right? How many are there?
Yeah, definitely
and
less.
They all are very, you know, they all have short hair, right? Except a few. You know, they all are. Everybody is fit in that box. You know.
Mm-hmm.
That why aren't we embracing our femininity and getting more women in
so
parliament?
How? Because I mean, this is something that also like I still feel that certain things is not the most equal. It's not the most fair. Yeah, there is discrimination. Yeah. But then, how do you just from the perspective of a lady who speaks out about this a lot, right? How do you balance the fact of like getting people in for the sake of getting people in, be it like race, gender, ethnicity, whatnot?
Like tokenism, lah.
Yeah, tokenism or the whole affirmative action thing.
See, I think that people use that tokenism thing when they are using it as an excuse not to promote a woman, because then that's saying that that person doesn't have an ability to be on that post, or they don't have that skill set to do that job. But when you're not going to give opportunities, when you're not going to give them, the experience, they're not going to learn. Same thing with the comedy scene in Singapore, right? Stand-up comedy scene in Singapore. There's some nights you will go, and most of them are men on the lineup. I'm the only female, or then if I'm not in town, someone else is there. So women are running their own nights. So when you talk to some people get very defensive. No, we are doing it. But they don't have a strong 5-minute set. I don't see them hustling. Bro, if you don't give them that experience, they will not hustle. If you don't change the culture at the back end, where like guys are standing around and they're only cracking male jokes and the energy is so masculine, the girl comes off and she's like, oh my God, are they talking shit about me because I had a bad set? Who? I mean, when you don't give that, they're not going to grow. So there is that whole thing of like, but other male, younger male comedians are also, they also want the spot, but they're like, why are you giving it to the female first? No, because there aren't enough women. You know? Because you don't want them to grow. I mean, not like purposely, lah, but you're not helping them grow.
But like But have you seen it like in other countries where you have performed and all, where the environments there are a bit more conducive or more along the lines of what you imagine?
I've seen cities, yeah. Mm. I've seen...
Even for stand-up, I mean.
Oh, stand-up?
Yeah.
Everywhere. Mm. Mostly everywhere is the same.
Mm.
You know, for women. I think the US is getting slightly better because it's a mature industry. The UK even better because mature industry. But still women, if you speak to them, they're like, gosh, I had to work harder. 10 times harder than the men to be where I am.
Mm. So then, like... Just to play like devil's advocate, now, where do you think the whole thing about NS sits in this whole thing? Or you think that one is just everybody should just shut up about men having to do NS in Singapore?
That is what the government wants.
Mm.
It's nothing to do with female or male. If you don't want to do NS, talk to the government. But the day they make it compulsory for women, we will do it.
But like right now, for a guy who doesn't want to do it, they can't just talk to the government. Right?
They can't. So that is the problem, that they should talk to the government. Because tomorrow, if we get invaded, I don't know. I think the government thinks that they will call all these NS men back and they will come, which is quite funny, I think.
I mean, because in Singapore, you...
I don't think many people will come back. Because
where would you go? Singapore's so small.
I know, exactly. But I don't think everybody is going to, like, you call them back and they're like, sorry, sir, my family, my mother is crying. She said, don't go to the... I mean, it's a real thing, right? It's a real struggle. You are training them so that they should be fit, that they should know how to protect the country. And all those skills are good for the men in the country. I think they are fantastic. But the day you say women should do it compulsory, women also will do it. It's not something that the women have said, I don't want to do it.
But you think there will be pushback against it?
Of course there will be initial pushback. Yeah. But you have to do it. If you want it equality.
But then, so do you think the fact that NS is there already kind of changes the balance? That by having NS there, you can understand why a guy would say, yeah, I'm already doing my part.
Yeah.
And that's why maybe they feel that, okay, there's been some progress, hopefully, in terms of women's rights, but for men, the NS thing is a non. So it almost starting off already is you feel your disadvantage.
See, the thing is, when you give birth to a child, what they don't understand is your body changes, your mood changes, your life changes, and it's a permanent thing.
Mm.
2 years of NSS will never compensate that for women.
Mm.
So that is like doing 15 years of NS, worse than that, till you're. And it, like maybe 18 years when people go college or the university. See, that is not a compensation at all. This is where, like, I feel like they're stupid, because it's like you wasted 2 years. She's giving up her whole life, you know. Because mostly when a child is born, the woman has at least 70-80% hold of the baby because of physical needs.
Yeah,
breastfeeding, taking care of the child, holding onto the kid for the first 2-3 years. That's what happens. So you can't like compare like that.
But then the thing is, now, you know, ultimately, Singapore is the only country one of the few countries that has conscription, right? And I'm not trying to just say I disagree with you. But because, like, when we covered the issue about the survey, right, 60% of men feel that, trying to understand why people might feel that way. And it is a thing in Singapore that other countries don't have.
Correct.
So if there's all this talk about gender equality in other countries where there's no conscription and already it feels like, oh, that is a stronger case there for gender equality. Singapore, it almost feels like, oh, but Singapore men are already doing NS.
Correct.
Yeah. So do you think that doesn't factor at all?
I don't think it factors at all. Because they are comparing giving birth to spending 2 years in becoming a fitter man, a disciplined man, and a man who knows how to protect his country.
Not everybody goes through NS coming out of it.
I know, not everybody. I know some people go through bullying as well. And I sympathize. But that's, don't like blame the women for what the government has put on you. This is the government's decision. Women didn't stand up and say, we don't want to do NS. Women didn't say no, and that's why government did it to you. Ask the government. That's why you can't like compare, you see.
But a lot of the things that kind of disadvantaged women are also government policies. Right?
Oh, of course. Right. Yeah, they are.
So that means it shouldn't be against the men?
Not necessarily, no. Because ideas, some of the set ideas, because you're living with around men and you know, some of the ideas that are already instilled in society are through patriarchy that are passed down generations. The people who are in government are also men. The ones who are making these rules are also men. So that's why I need more women in parliament. So that there are fair, you know, kind of rules and regulations and you know, leeways made for both men and women, so they both can thrive. It's so, not
and,
like,
and you think Singapore, the patriarchy is getting stronger?
I think it's very strong. If the government keeps looking back and saying, which is why I always say, you know, you say, oh, paternal leave is going to make it better. No. No man is sitting in the office going, oh, paternal leave, 2 more days I can stay at home. Okay, I have a baby. I mean, nobody's saying that. What? Or nobody like, oh, baby bonus. Wow, more money coming. Okay, I have a baby. No, what?
But it might make it...
you know what would make it great? Is if you actually put 2 days off for you to have sex with your wife.
Every week?
Not every week.
Like. Oh, you mean just like...
Like once a month, you should be allowed 2 days. And you should be like, okay, I need to... I'm planning for a baby. I need time. It's a stressful environment. Can I please go off?
For baby planning.
For baby planning.
But then how you prevent abuse of that?
You can't lah. Even NS people say that I break my leg lah. I break my neck lah. My cock break. This break, that break. Then you also get out of it. But you have to figure it out lah.
So I feel you can prepare a whole white paper on how every like all these sex related things can really help Singapore.
Do you know, love and sex and money are three things that really drive any country.
Yeah.
We are lacking in one. Two.
Love and sex.
Love and sex. We are only going for money.
So Singapore don't love also.
Love, where is the love? You only will find love at East Coast Park where people put the tent, you know, when they're glamping when they're proposing to their girlfriends. Then you'll be like, oh my God, this is so nice. And then the reason why they would have done that is because they just got HDB.
Or the BTO lah.
The BTO. Then love where? In the pantat.
I don't know. But like, so generally, are you optimistic about Singapore or pessimistic?
I'm very optimistic.
Yeah.
Considering that they change certain things around here. Because if not, it's already getting hot.
Yeah.
Our clothes are dry. Our pussies are dry. Everything is dry.
Brilliant. Is that like a big angle for your upcoming stand-up?
Absolutely not.
Oh, no.
No.
Nothing about that is in.
I might talk about it now that you're saying about... Yeah, but everything is dry.
Everything's dry.
Nothing is wet.
That can be the name of your next stand-up also. Everything's dry.
Everything is dry.
Yeah. Do you hate it when people try and name your stand-up?
Absolutely not. Lah. Yeah. I mean, although I named one of my first stand-up after a ST reviewer's insult to my joke. Called me a body mouth. Come on, you've been sitting with me for an hour.
Do you think
I'm a body mouth?
No.
Okay, great.
Yeah, you have just interesting thoughts, which is why we got you on. So actually we haven't mentioned like where exactly people can go to get your tickets to your show.
Ticketmaster.sg.
Ticketmaster.
If you can remember, think master.
Not ticketmistress.com.
No. Ticketmaster.
Ticketmaster. Okay.
Ticketmaster.sg. Just put their middle child. Come for the show.
Mm.
And I don't know how many of you all are gonna hear this, but even if one of you all heard this podcast.
Thanks, Cheryl. Oh, sorry. Thanks, Cheryl.
Buy the ticket.
Oh, okay.
I mean, listen to the podcast also. I really like the podcast. It's fun.
Yeah, it's fun. And where can people find you on like Instagram, TikTok and all?
It's at the Cheryl Chana. And TikTok is, if it survives, still at the Cheryl Chana.
It should still survive for the rest of the world, like, just not the US.
I don't know. Oh yeah, for Singapore it will because the CEO is Singaporean, right? Yeah, then it'll survive. Like, for Singapore, only Singaporeans will watch it.
Yeah, only Singaporeans.
The rest all want to ban it. Don't know why. So it's fun, you know, TikTok.
Yeah, it is.
It's very trashy and very fun. I love it.
Yeah. I can see its value. I wouldn't say I love it. La.
You know what it is? Have you ever gone to the live section of any TikTok?
Yes.
Have you watched people having a chat from their houses, like two different places, especially like...
I haven't seen that. The live that I see all in my feed is fucking ridiculous shit.
Oh my God. You don't know. I watch a helper from, say, one part of Singapore talking to a worker from another part of Singapore. Mm. Just lying down and having a romantic conversation. It's so nice to hear.
Oh, really?
It's so beautiful. TikTok. Yes. It's on TikTok. And they just have these gifts thing so you can gift them. But I think they're just talking.
Next time you see that, just send it to me.
Dude, I could go now. There's probably one of them talking right now and their employer doesn't know. No, it's okay. The employer doesn't know. It's okay. But like live. Okay, I'll show you this. Probably.
It's okay. You can send me later.
Not now.
We still got one more segment. Cheryl.
Oh shit, I'm going to go for it.
The one stroke thing. Maybe that can be your one stroke thing. La.
Okay, one stroke thing is, yes, yeah. My one stroke. Okay, are you going to ask me?
Yeah, yeah. What is your one stroke thing, Cheryl?
My one stroke thing is, I like to watch workers and mates or helpers live on TikTok having romantic conversations. And it's right here.
And is that live?
That is live.
So like, what is the link we put in the show notes? Because we need to be able to share it with our fans and listeners.
Okay, then in that case, just have Komla Vilas. Komla Vilas is really good food. And I had like, and they are introducing Bhatura soon. So
they don't
I
have Bhatura yet?
No, they're bringing back Bhatura, yeah.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, beautiful.
It
really
went away
food.
For a while, is it the Bhatura?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's back.
Really?
I love, yes, Komla Vilas has opened a new outlet at 215 Serangoon Road, I think. They have two outlets. So one is on the main road, one is opening the other side.
I see. Yeah. So if there was one that you would recommend, which or the other?
Actually, I'll go to the new one because the old one is always busy. There's a line outside all the time. So I prefer to walk down and go to the new one because it's got some space.
I see. And the new one is where again?
It's 215 Serangoon Road. Can we search that or not?
215 Serangoon Road. Komala
Vilas.
Komala Vilas. 7678 Serangoon Road. We'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah, the new one. The new one. Go for the new one.
The new one. Okay, Ken.
Also, my sister's married to the owner. Just wanted to...
Oh, is it?
Yeah, but that's on a side note. That one you don't put in.
Okay.
Yeah, just promote the food.
Yeah. We'll put a link to the new one.
Thank you so much.
Cool. Okay, so my one shook thing is a YouTube channel that I recently came across.
Yeah.
It is called... Handle is House by G, and account name is Georgine Low. So basically, he does like very aesthetically pleasing videos of like day in my life, like in Singapore. I don't know what he does. I think he's a freelancer. He's just made like 11 videos, but he has a pretty sweet house setup, and he just does like unboxing and like his day in life. But it's very, very aesthetically pleasing. Then he rides a cool bike. And I just came across, I'm like, hey, shit, I didn't know got creators like this in Singapore. So, Georgine Low, House by G on YouTube.
Oh.
Yeah, it's House a new channel. G. House by G. So, same thing. We'll put that link in the show notes.
Perfect.
Along with the links to everything we have discussed, including the ticketmaster.sg / middle child.
Yeah. I don't think it's much longer. You just put that ticketmaster. Just go to ticketmaster and just write there middle child, okay?
Oh, you never change the domain to be / middle child or something?
It does have something like it's longer, you know? Don't waste your time.
So go there. We'll just put a link in the show notes.
Just yes, please.
Okay, awesome. But yeah.
Was this video recorded also?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was video recorded. That's what the cameras over there do, Cheryl.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
Yeah, but thanks so much for coming, Cheryl.
Thanks for having me. I hope you... Yeah.
We hope I what?
Hope you put in that everybody should masturbate once a day.
You have said it enough times already.
Okay, great.
Yeah, cool. And to everyone listening, thank you all so much for tuning in, and we'll talk to you all soon.